And this is episode 20. Make some noise!
I think you should be a little bit scared, you know?
Why?
You know why.
Oh, no.
We've got Mick G.
I didn't want to even speak about this little fish fry.
He said that he spoke to your baby mama.
I don't tolerate disrespect.
Addressing Maphorisa, do you accept his apology? With Deliz, We've all been very concerned about him and his health.
Mm-hmm. The family never asked for donations.
Okay.
The only guy that's smart on that podcast is like literally Saul. Ghost Lady has something to say.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I'm like, after I saw Ghost Lady, I understood why she's a ghost lady.
This is what we're here for. It's the Altino podcast.
Joe.
It's a weird.
Ha, ha, ha. Why am I the host?
Boom, boom, boom.
I'm gonna dare myself, Lil Wayne, Rick Ross.
Let's go.
Hi, Joe. Welcome back to the Altino podcast. And this is episode 20. Make some noise! Man, thank you for everybody for watching this podcast. Thank you for rocking out with us. I really appreciate it. I appreciate the love. Today we got something special for the 20th episode. I'm usually the man that's asking the questions, but today we're going to do it differently. I know there's so many things you guys want to know about me, how we got to this point. So today on the Altino podcast, I'm a guest, you know? And we got a beautiful host to take us through the proceedings. So without further ado, let's make some noise for Boutle Sandworld!
Hello. I see you want to lead, ne? He's so used to ruling this podcast. I'm taking over. Hi, everyone. My name is Boutle Samuels, and it's B's takeover of 20 episodes of the Altino podcast. Mm-hmm. I'm absolutely excited to be part of this. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to say, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling good, man. I'm feeling grateful that we got to this point, 20 episodes. Mm. It's been a beautiful ride. I'm feeling good.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Feeling good. I think you should be a little bit scared, you know?
Why?
You know why.
No, I don't know.
You don't know?
Why should I be scared?
Let's get straight into it. Don't worry. You'll see as we keep going. I've got a few surprises for you.
Oh, no.
No, but you can take it easy for right now. Okay? So let's get started. Okay? So in all your 20 episodes, who was your favorite guest? What was the best episode that you've had?
I wouldn't say favorite, but I would say the most pivotal guest we've had on the Altino podcast is definitely AKA. And why I say that, all the guests were special, just to put it out there. There's no favorite, there's no whatever. But the reason why I'm singling out this AKA one is like he came as a first episode. Mm-hmm. We hadn't built a structure, we hadn't had a foundation. For you to go to a podcast that it's not even happened before, you have to believe. Mm-hmm. You have to trust the person doing it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's easy for people to like for lack of a better word, hop on a bandwagon, or for people to go to a brand that is already structured, that's solid. Mm-hmm. So he came before there was anything. Okay. And I mean, he's a big brand. For him to trust me with that is something that I really appreciate. And the funny thing, when AKA came on the first episode, it's like he saw what was going to happen with the Altino podcast. Mm-hmm. You know, he was like, yo, man, I hope you guys, you know what I'm saying, build this brand, the sponsors come through, you know what I'm saying, it becomes like a big part. Like, he literally gave us his wishes, and I'm so glad that he did that, because his label at the time didn't want him doing a podcast, because they wanted him to come when his album was dropping. But he was like, nah, Tito's my guy, I'm going to go and do it, and I'll go back again when the album drops. So if he actually decided to listen to his label.
Yeah.
He was not going to make it because he passed away before his album dropped. So that's why that episode is like dear to my heart. And it's like a lot of people don't believe in you or believe in a brand before you make it happen.
Quick question. Mm. What did you say to him when you like approached him about the whole episode? Like what did you say? What was the like conversation?
No, I just literally told him like, there's this vision that I have. I'm going to do a podcast. And you know what I'm saying? Like,
did he laugh?
No. I did.
You
he didn't laugh. He was just like, nah, bro, like I believe in what you're doing, whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. He was like a supportive friend, you know? Mm-hmm. He believed in my vision before I guess anyone else did. And that's why that one will always be special to me.
Oh, that's awesome. Always love Keenan. And viral moments. What has been the best viral moment on the podcast?
I think the LTO podcast has had a lot of viral moments, you know? I mean, we can go through it. Like, we had like the meme, that Nota meme. You guys know that meme, right? It's like that meme, yeah.
Joe.
Nota, we have it. Super viral. Come on, we can't forget the MT, the avocado. Like, I think that is still viral right now.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a taste of apartheid. My grandmother was working in the birth, still as a maid and shit. And I ain't know English by then. But I could tell that these white kids is gossiping about me. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm going to let it slide. And then, while we were playing, they made me the host. And they were climbing on top of me.
What?
I'm like, no. Why am I the host? And I got two white kids sitting on me. And then when I complained about that, they got mad. They hit me with an avocado, man. I told my grandma, I'm like, hey. I just been hit.
What else did we have? We had the Casper one, the C63 one.
Okay, I'll tell you a short story.
Yeah.
This girl, I used to tell every morning, I want a C63, baby. I really want to drive this car. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Bah, 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 bah. One day she wakes up, she said to me, baby, I need 4,000 for my hair. Yeah. I was like, why don't you ask your parents? Candy is the last test, my brother.
So you think it was
that
a test?
That day in the evening, she came with the guy in a C63 to tell me that she's breaking up with me. That day, in the evening. This happens in the morning. It is a real thing. It's a real thing, bro.
Why?
Poison, she comes up. She's like, no, I haven't been happy, you know. Bam, bam, bam. Here's your house keys. You know, I just wanted to know that you're an amazing guy. Poison, this tall poor comes from nowhere. I just have this tall poor. She's been seeing the both of us. And you know how women are. I made her choose today. She chose me. This guy wants to rub it in. But you know, she chose me, my friend. Then he says, no hard feelings. What do you mean, no hard feelings, though? You know yourself.
I'm fine.
This is before
you were boxing. No,
what am I gonna do? Nah, he's a big guy.
Oh.
Like, a big nigga. Like, I'm definitely not doing that to myself. I would see. No, I'm gonna get an ass whooping here.
Yeah.
So
this is before your boxing.
Nah, it's way before. This is four series times. Hey, Joe. And then that's the real reason why I was obsessed with the C63.
Damn, man, she's foul. And I know the girl. We won't say her name.
Yeah. I've been talking about this car. Yeah. And then that evening, she pulls up in that car, leaving me for that guy who drives that car. It's so crazy.
Damn. And then she's foul. Yo, like, bro, that's crazy. Bro.
I went into the strip club there. Ish.
Yeah.
I'm in a strip club now.
The same night.
Same night, Poison. I was lost. Now I'm getting consoled by a stripper now. Huh? Oh, baby, oh, he's so sad. Let me see. Oh, is this girl? I know this girl. She always come here with old man. Yo. Old man, eh? Yeah. I see. No, she's not good for baby, for you. I make you feel good. Don't worry. And now, oh, 4,000. 104,000 elephants. Never that photo was coming out one way or another.
If I had to choose one moment, we've had a lot of viral moments, I'd definitely choose MT avocado story. Definitely as the most viral moment.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We're giving MT claps there. Mm-hmm. All right. And okay. Moving from a little bit of the funny moments. Mm-hmm. You are an emerging podcaster that's, you know, pulling his weight, showing people flames in mm-hmm. the space, mm-hmm. you know. And we've got Mick G. Mm-hmm. And we just want to know, he said that he spoke to your baby mama. What do you have to say about that?
You know, I didn't want to even speak about this little fish fry. But it's like, you know what the problem is? When you argue with a fool, people from a distance can't tell who's who. Mm. You know what I'm saying? That was not my baby mama.
Mm. So yeah. Who do you think he called? Like, who was that?
I don't know. Maybe his ex shorty. Even, bro, this is a married man. He's calling another girl. It's Tanwa Simon, whatever. Like, how does that even make sense?
Ish. Kunsima.
Like, that is embarrassing for me. That's a married man. Mm. You are someone's father. Just like making up stories. You know what the situation is? With me, Mac G has to make up stories because my character is too solid. You can't, like, what are you going to say about me?
Boom, boom, boom.
No, for real. What are you going to say about me? So you're going to have to make up stories. And for me, when you start making up stories, I can't even argue with you because now I just think you are lame.
Okay, so
he's lame.
I know one of the things when I listened to it, right? I was like, something's missing here,
yeah.
You know? And this brings me to my next question, right? Which is that Nota had a tweet that he commented about the whole situation between you and Mac G and mm-hmm. the baby mama. And he said that you only date colored women. Is this true?
I've been with black and white and everything that's in between. No, that's not true, eh? I don't only true? Date. No. Like, I've had so many black girlfriends, like white girlfriends. I love everybody.
But yeah. I don't want to lie. The girl sounded like Mhlambo Nomthandazo on the phone.
Facts, you heard that.
I mean,
was a fake ass colored girl.
Like, like, I really.
That was like literally.
I don't want to lie. I was like, that was what was missing for me.
I'm gonna tell Tato.
I'm like,
and he's like, she's the only one that can put him straight. Like, what? Like.
Well,
Mac G's lame, honestly.
Okay.
The only guy that's smart on that podcast is like literally Saul. Saul's the only one that's smart. Mm-hmm. I also heard, what's this? The Ghost Lady has something to say.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I'm like, after I saw Ghost Lady, I understood why she's a ghost lady. You know, I'm not the type of person, okay, that's like confrontational.
I know you're not. So let's.
I'm a chill dude, but I do not tolerate disrespect. Okay. I don't tolerate disrespect.
Well, from me, Ghost Lady, I'm so sorry.
I'm also sorry. Don't ever mention my name again.
Yeah, but and we're done, right? Yeah. We're wrapping this thing
done.
Up.
I don't want to talk about them again. Ever again.
It is what it is, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Oh my gosh, it's gonna be done. Little Wulandre. Okay. Wow.
All I'm just saying is,
wow.
Like, I'm a nice guy. I don't bother nobody, but I do not. I never want to be disrespected. I don't tolerate disrespect. Like, don't mention my name. I'll never mention your name. It's that simple.
Yeah. No. It's very clear.
Yeah.
Very very clear right now. Wow, Tito, you are surprising me right now. So, yeah. Let's move to your last episode,
uh-huh.
right? You were basically, you know, addressing Maphorisa
mm-hmm.
about what he said,
mm-hmm.
you know, to your mom.
Mm-hmm.
And he then, after your episode, he wrote a tweet and he apologized. What do you have to say about that? Do you accept his apology?
So, Namapolisawan is very tricky, you know? Because when someone mentions my mother, it's like, you put me in a place where it's dark. I'm willing to die about that, you know? You know, the reason why I didn't even respond or even say anything to his tweet is like, I was still processing the situation. I was mad at that guy, like beyond, you know? But, you know, like, I can respect that as a man, him apologizing. And I do accept his apology. And I want to give a shout out to you, actually, because a lot of people don't know you. You were involved in trying to bring the peace, you know? You like one of my closest friends in the game. And you spoke to DJ Mapolisa when you guys met at the club. And then I remember you sending me a message like, Tito, I'm here. Like, immediately after that situation happened, I'm with DJ Mapolisa. Like, and you sent me a message. I want you guys to make peace. And I remember not responding to your message.
Yeah.
And you were like,
I was like, oh, I'm like, you're not ignoring me. I'm calling you at Groove. I'm like, listen, we need to fix this. So, yeah.
Yeah, you called me. And then I guess you also spoke some sense into him. I don't know. So yeah, man, like for me with the situation, like I said, it was like a guy that I was just willing to be enemies with forever in my life.
Yeah.
Because once you disrespect my mother, it's like, bruh, like I got nothing to say to you.
Yeah.
But I can respect the apology as a man if you recognize, because we all make mistakes. I hope he genuinely means it. That for me, I just hope he genuinely means that apology.
I really do believe he does, because as the person who's been mediating between the two of you, I actually do feel like he genuinely realized his mistake. And I'm so proud of both of you just for being like grown about the situation. It wasn't very nice, but I'm just glad that I could be something positive. And I never thought people would actually know about that. But like, I'm just, you're putting me on the spot now.
See how life works out.
But I just love the fact that you guys were able to, you know, he was big enough to say, I messed up and publicly apologize to you. And how's your mom? Like, how is she taking everything? Like,
yeah, my mom did, you know, I guess when she saw the apology, she did. At least I think it did something to her, for her to like maybe calm down. But I know there was a situation where there was a reach to say, can he speak to my mother privately to apologize to her? But she was not ready for that. You know? And my mother just like said to me, can try about Baba Holo. So when that situation happens, I guess maybe sort out the situation. But I just never want, for me, it's just like, I don't want like people that have nothing to do with the El Tito podcast to be affected. I don't want nobody speaking about my mother. You know what I'm saying? She has nothing to do with this podcast. And it's like, have you noticed like all my apps, like all the people who are like supposed to be my enemies, they're going for females. Like the one, my mother, you know what I'm saying? It's like, the other one, my fake baby mama. It's like,
yeah.
So it's like, why can't you face Tito straight up? Like, why can't you just deal with me straight up?
Yeah, I think it's a tricky question, but.
Yeah, I can respect DJ Mapolisa, but the little fish fried, no.
Oh, yeah, no.
He's a lame, he's beyond a lame.
Okay, moving right along from Lames R Us, with Deliz, we've all been very concerned about him and his health, and you're a very close friend to him. How is he doing?
That's a heavy one. That's very heavy to me, because like, Les is like, when I got into this industry, obviously I was already homie, like this gang, the crew that I came in the game with, Mugs, Pages, and Mariah, we are a crew. So Les is like actually the first friend I made in the industry. mm-hmm. in 2009. That was like the first friend I literally met who was in the game, and we became friends. Like Josie was everywhere.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We met in the clubs because we were both like wild.
And, I remember those, you know, Josie days.
You know what I'm saying?
I was supposed to be like a backup dancer.
You were a backup? You were?
I was supposed to, yes.
For real?
And we decided, yes.
What? Yeah. I never knew.
Well, I tried to audition, but I wasn't good enough because I couldn't pop and lock and drop.
Damn.
So now I'm more sultry. So Ponte was like, you know.
What?
She was like, yeah. So.
I thought I knew everything about you. That's
no.
crazy. That's new to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, Les was like literally the first friend I made because we liked the same thing. Mm-hmm. At that time, we loved fashion, clothes, and we loved women. But you know what I'm saying? It was like our younger days. We both matured. So like that was like this certain thing that we had in common, you know what I'm saying? When we're in the clubs and we became friends, you know? Mm-hmm. We became homies. And throughout the years, like we're friends for like, since like 2009, for like 15 years, we never had no arguments, no fights, and just to be real with the people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Me and him had a fallout earlier this year.
Yes, I know.
We don't need to speak about the situation.
Yeah.
We had a fallout earlier on this year, and it's like the first time in 15 years we are friends.
Mm.
We had a fallout earlier on this year, and we made up literally a month before he went to hospital.
Wow.
So that messed me up so much, like, because we are starting to like speak every day now.
Yeah.
Things were going back to normal where we talking, and maybe certain people might not know when Les experienced a stroke was on his birthday.
That's crazy.
So the day before, he's calling me like, yo, you gotta pull up, you know, on my birthday, whatever's going down. And he wanted me to be with him even the night before his birthday,
mm-hmm.
you know, to celebrate, I guess, 12, when it hits 12 o'clock. You know, but I couldn't make it for that time. I was like, no, I'll celebrate with him the next day. And then obviously the news came through and it hit me like a ton of bricks because it's like, this is like a homie that me and him hadn't been talking much for the last like 4 or 5 months or whatever. And we just got back to the groove of being cool again.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that happened, yeah, man, it was like, yeah, it put me in a dark place.
Yeah.
And it's like one thing I do want to put out there
mm-hmm.
is like, I see people like rejoicing on social media on certain things. It's like, I actually want to put out first that his family never asked for donations for people who are not clear. Because I see so many people out there saying,
your family are asking for,
mm-hmm. the family never asked for donations.
So how did that happen?
It's like certain friends like just said, oh, okay, let's do this something for our boy. Okay. Let's just raise money or whatever.
And then it just basically got out of an intimate group and it just ended up becoming somebody just made it seem like it was a public request.
Yes, it was not a public request. Okay. His family didn't ask for that. And I just want just to put out a message like, let's stop like celebrating or rejoicing when we feel someone has reached a downfall or when something negative happens to someone. I think we have that as, I don't know if it's like Black Twitter,
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
we celebrate
negativity
mm-hmm. or we think someone is falling off, a downfall. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's sad, you know what I'm saying? And I feel like, you know what I'm saying, once he recovers from this situation, which I hopefully he does,
mm-hmm.
I don't want him, that's the first thing he's going to see.
Yeah.
Imagine, like, people talking like crazy about it.
But it's, you know what, like, Twitter, social media, it's just a very complex space. I think a lot of the times, as much as we want to bring out the humanity in people, social media is just not a place where people are human. They want to be like their worst selves. You know, it's sad to see.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll always try to encourage people to be better than, you know, than what they can be on socials. But you've been in the game for a very long time now.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been friends with so many people, mm-hmm. you know, and we've had quite a few tragedies and so many things happening to people that we've all grown up kind of moving into this space.
Mm-hmm.
How does that make you feel? Like, well, what do you want to say about that?
Yeah, man, it's been, I'm not going to lie, like, I've been blessed so much in my life, but it's also come with a lot of tragedies. Like, literally my peers,
yeah,
like, Kenan was like someone that was like very close to.
Mm-hmm.
Losing him was like so hard on me.
Mm-hmm.
Losing Ricky.
Yeah.
I was, a lot of people don't know, like, I was very close to Ricky, even before he started his journey into the music industry.
Yeah.
You know? And to lose him was, like, crazy to me, you know? And then now to see Les go through this situation, it's like, damn, these are, like, my peers, the people I came up in the game with. Mm-hmm. To see that has been something that's been hard to process and hard to deal with too. Mm-hmm. I'm just taking it day by day. It's a very difficult situation because it's like, even it's like the love for the music now starts becoming like a little bit tainted. Because it's like the people that were your peers that you celebrated these
can't
moments
enjoy
with.
Those moments with
you
them
can't anymore. Enjoy the moments with them.
So before you did music, you were a financial advisor.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, El Tito was a financial advisor. I just want to say he was a financial advisor. Whose monies did you mess up? Oh no, advisor you and
I keep playing. Yo, I'm a smart guy, yo. If a lot of you guys haven't picked up, like, don't let this caps
his yo-yo fool you.
You know what I'm saying? Fool you. I'm a very smart guy. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, I studied these things.
Wow.
You know? So I was like very savvy with, like, I could have put my hands on so many parts, you know. I believe I'm a multifaceted guy.
Yeah.
I have so many talents. And I was in the corporate world, yes.
Okay. So wait, team, we need to find you. Like, do you have a picture of yourself while in corporate?
Oh, I mean, yeah, no.
We need to find this picture and put it out.
Nah, for real.
We definitely need to.
I used to wear a suit every day to work. For real.
In Nele Loshat.
Nah, chapa suit.
No, wait, no, no, say
that. I've always been a swaggy guy.
Yeah, okay.
So the suit was fitting me nicely.
Okay.
Kishan cheese ko opu.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. No, that's.
I was very corporate before I stepped into the music world.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
And I'll tell you what this corporate thing taught me.
Mm-hmm. What did it teach you?
For a lot of things that people don't understand, you know, I'll speak about it when you ask me something. But it's like, a lot of people don't know my music journey is I was an independent artist throughout my music career.
Yes.
A lot of people don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
They think I had a label. I had whatever. So just to give you context. For me to be on radio, TV, everything else, it was all by me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a manager even at that time. I had, just because of like me and my business savvy, because I did marketing too, it allowed me to be able to move correctly in the music industry.
Wow.
So the money I made from the corporate world, I invested the money all into my music career. So all the music videos, everything that you guys saw and whatever for me.
That was your bands? Those were senior bands?
These were the bags that I made from the corporate world.
Huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And it just taught me to be self-made. And that's why I was independent throughout my whole music career. I only did one album with Universal.
Yeah.
And that's not like, that's like later on in my career.
Yeah.
So like the first like 12 years of my music career, independent, all.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So would you say that because you were independent, you jumping from music now to like podcasting, which is also an independent space, was that a difficult move for you? Or was it something that just felt like, were you like, I'm going to do this, whatever? Or did you feel like this is not, were you doubting yourself? What was going on in your head when you decided to, you know, jump into this?
I always believed in myself as a person.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess like, the corporate thing, because you must realize it was a risk. Hip hop was not popping in 2009 when I decided to do music. House was the biggest thing.
Yeah.
So for me to say I am quitting my 9-to-5 to do music and I'm going to do it independent, you have to have a certain confidence to you.
Mm-hmm.
And when hip hop was not big, it's like you had to be comfortable with being an outcast. Even Lekokasi, Because when you walk around with baggy jeans, you're my man.
It
was not a cool thing. Yeah. So I became comfortable in being an individual myself.
Mm-hmm.
So that translated through the music and just my mentality overall. So even when I had to flip from the music to the podcasting, I believed in myself so much. Like, I believed anything, and I still believe anything I put my mind to, I can achieve, really. If I wanted to be, what can I be? A president? Yeah, I believe I could be a president if I actually put my mind to it.
Yeah.
I mean, Trump is a president.
But I think you've got...
You know, I believe I can put my mind to anything.
I do believe you. Funny enough, you know, I think one of the things that I might say about you is that one of the things that I think people don't know that's one of your strong skill sets is that you are very good at, like, connecting with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Connecting with all kinds of people from all sorts of backgrounds. People feel very comfortable to be themselves around you.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think, you know what, as crazy as it might seem to say, oh, you know, I could be president, you know. Mm-hmm. Being a president is all about managing people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And you're doing a good job. And you, speaking about Trump, he was on a show saying people are fired. And look, he still became president. So
exactly.
Anything's possible, right? You're
going to judge me because I said, I can't be a president.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I'm just saying. I'm trying to think, what could get in my way?
Oh, no, you're that would be your tagline, Jalakayona, vote for Tito.
No, I'm just saying, what could be the barrier of you know what I'm saying,
nothing,
stopping me?
Nothing, to be honest, in this world at this point, nothing is a barrier.
Yeah, and actually, it even brings me to a point where I want to just even speak on a situation, because I also never address this.
Mm-hmm.
Mac G was speaking about, like, on your show when he was like fake calling my baby mama, and he was like, the failed rapper. And I was like, bro, are you crazy?
Yeah.
Like, do you know the things that I've done in this game?
Yeah.
Like, I want to know now, we need to speak about this situation, right? When we are going to say someone failed or something, what are we saying? What did they fail?
Yeah, what is the definition of that?
Because I need to ask, because what is the definition if you fail at something?
Because
mm-hmm. if you decide to say, okay, I'm not a rapper, I'm going to be a podcaster, does that mean you fail?
No.
Because if we're speaking about accolades, bro, it does not make sense where someone would even put me under that bracket.
Yeah, yeah.
I've won Best Newcomer in Africa at the Channel O Awards. Mm-hmm. A failed rapper does not win Best Newcomer in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
I've won all awards that you can think of.
Yeah.
I'm a multi-platinum.
But also, you've been in the music consistently, giving music.
Fair.
You have a whole platform, a whole fan base.
A catalog.
Like a whole catalog.
I'm a multi-platinum selling artist, okay?
Boom.
I'm a multi-platinum selling artist.
Uh-huh.
You know
tell
what I'm
him,
saying?
Tell
you
him.
Don't, you don't, how you fail if you're multi-platinum, it doesn't make sense.
No, I think, you know what? I think we are also just in this space within ourselves as like a people right now, where it seems like if you're doing something else, if you're growing and changing, that somehow means you failed in something. You should
I was supposed
stick
to rap
with it.
Until I
so
die.
Maybe you must rap till you die. Maybe that's the thing. Like,
hi, my people, get ready for the first ever Mini United in South Africa. This is happening September 7th at the Grand Mulder's Drift, from 11 a.m. to 12. You know this is going to be a day full of vibes and good times. Get ready to celebrate with the iconic Mini South Africa. Let's go, baby. There's an amazing DJ lineup. We got DJ Ken. We got Shekinah. We got Durban Goggle and many more. Buy your tickets, right? And how you get your tickets, go to www.mini.co.za/united and join us on this unforgettable day. Yes, sir. No, I'm not El Tito, by the way, no more.
What? Tito? Okay. Tell me about this El Tito situation.
Bogi said he took my L. So he's like, I have to take this L.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? When he apologized.
Yeah.
So I'm just Tito now. He took my L.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So now, excuse me. Yeah. So now you guys can call him El Bogi, and I'm just like Tito.
Wow, okay, I didn't know about this.
Yeah, he took my L.
Okay.
So I'm just Tito, guys.
So you're just
Brad,
Tito now.
I have a new name in the streets.
Okay.
Just call me Tito.
Okay, Tito. What is it that you want people to take away from the Altito podcast? What is the feeling that you always want people to have now that you've reached this milestone going forward? What do you want people to take away?
I always believe, like, when people come to this podcast, in a way, I think what our podcast has done is, like, we humanize people. There's certain characters that are misunderstood. And I think when they come on this platform, we want to hear their story, their organic story. We don't grill them. I think so many other people, they saw a different light of them on the podcast. So many guests have come on this podcast and people would say, oh, I didn't know this person was like this, mm-hmm. you know? And for me, it's I want to shed light on the positive things because mm-hmm. there's a lot of negativity happening in the industry, in the game, in the podcasting world, music world. I want to share the positive stories. I want to be a good influence on society. Not meaning like I'm holier than now. Mm-hmm. I still make mistakes. I'm not perfect. So if you see me doing some wild things out there in the streets, I'm still trying to get myself correct. Mm-hmm. I'm still not where I want to be as a person. But what I do intentionally want to do is bring more positivity, shed light on like the good stories. Yeah. Just others, like when you open newspapers, all you see is negativity selling mm-hmm. newspapers. Mm-hmm. So I just want to be the balance in the game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I want people to come on this podcast and feel they can come on a platform where they're not judged. I want them to come on a platform where they feel they can be themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys have heard, Drew Hill is coming to the country, right? And there's a really dope competition I want to put you guys on. So you could win a VVIP experience in association with LT the Podcast, Ringers, and Drew Hill. So here's how you win the tickets, right? All you have to do is buy a voucher from 50 rands and upwards. And you can find it at participating BPs, okay? Make sure you head over to BP to get your voucher. And let me tell you what you win with this VVIP experience. You get to have pre-drinks with us on the podcast. We head over to the concert in a fly shuttle. We get to the concert, we have dinner, we go to the concert. And here's a beautiful thing. You can bring three of your friends when you win this competition. I'll be with three of my friends, right? And then after the concert, we head over to the after party where you can actually get to meet Drew Hill. And then you can stay at a luxurious hotel for the night. You don't have to go home. So we got you. And come on, breakfast in the morning, we got you. This is like a really, really dope experience. Make sure you don't miss out on that in association with Ringers, Drew Hill, and the LT the Podcast. Yes, sir.
So how this actually happened was that I had a dream last year. I think in May or something, I had a dream that I was on the Altito podcast and I was interviewing Altito. And it was like a celebratory type energy, like exactly what this is. So I called him and I was like, hello, you know, I actually had, like, I dreamt that I was on your podcast, but I was asking you the questions. And I, you know, and it's just like, you know, we randomly have our mm-hmm. random calls. And I was just like, how funny is that, you know? So I'm like, ugh, maybe one of these days, you know, because people want to know about you. And now that you're always interviewing people, it becomes rare where other people get to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
And then funny enough, fast forward to, you know, last week you called me like, oh, I spoke to my team and they said that, you know,
mm-hmm.
it would be great to have mm-hmm. somebody, you know, have somebody, you know, interview me. And mm-hmm. you had said this last year. So mm-hmm. this is how this happened.
Happy 20th episode. Yeah! Much love. We'll see you guys on the next one.
Yeah.
Anything that you want to say before
yeah,
we
do? I just want to say more life to the Altito podcast. I cannot wait to see where you guys take it, you know? Yeah.
And for you, just I wish you nothing but the best in this new venture of yours. I hope the numbers go crazy.
Yes, sir.
I hope you get all the cheese in the world, but more importantly, I hope your family's healthy, man, and everything's just cool and chilled and sun is shining on you and you're on the beach sipping pina coladas, man.
That's beautiful. That's a beautiful way to end it.